You're listening to WKCR 89.9 FM New York, and this is Art Attack.
What is America? Beautiful, violent, principled, racist, hopeful, chaotic, always changing. It's such a challenge to try to define this country. America completely reinvents itself on a daily basis. As I set out across the country to photograph people with the American flag, I wasn't sure what I would find. As a college student during the Gulf War, it quickly became apparent to me how little my peers knew about the military's activities or the symbolic power of the American flag. This realization, coupled with the political polls and sound bites defining the current American psyche, made me question the validity of the people's opinion that the media represented as fact. As Americans, we are who we choose to be, and that may all change tomorrow.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended.
All across America, we all
Tonight's Art Attack is an interview with photographer Lori Lyons discussing her book Flag, An American Story. And it is a collage of responses collected by the collaborative Union Docs approaching the question, what is America?
¿Qué es América?
The United States of America is a representative democracy and federal republic composed of 50 states. It is the third largest country in the world with the third largest population. Its international dialing code is 1. Its capital is Washington, D.C. Its per capita GDP is $37,800, the highest in the world. 97% of Americans over 15 years of age are literate. The average American is 36 years old. The average American woman has 2 children. The average American dies at 77 and a half years of age. The average American is white. The average American is Christian. The average American lives in suburbia. The average American speaks English. The social structure of the United States is highly stratified, with a large proportion of the wealth of the country controlled by a small fraction of the population, which exerts disproportionate cultural and political influence on the rest of the nation. However, in terms of relative wealth, most U.S. residents enjoy a standard of personal economic wealth that is far greater than known in most of the world. For example, 51% of all households have access to a computer, 67.9% of U.S. households owned their dwellings in 2002. The U.S. spends now almost $400 billion a year on its military. This budget is larger than the next 20 national budgets combined and accounts for almost half of the world's total military spending. 1.4 million Americans are in the military. 469,000 of them are in foreign countries, and 211,000 of these are in Iraq. 2 million, or about 1.3% of American men, are in prison or jail, which is about 1 out of 75 men.
I was inspired to shoot Flag because watching the television and watching the daily news, I was always curious about how people were polled in this country, whether it was a question that was very trivial about what kind of soap do you like, or whether something about abortion or who would you vote for as president. There are always these statistics that say, you know, 78% of the country thinks this and 12% thinks that. And I wondered, well, who are the people that are being polled? I've never been polled. I don't know anyone who's been polled. I don't know anyone who knows anyone else who's been polled. So I really was curious to go out on the street on a regular day with regular people, not expecting to be questioned about anything, and ask them a very simple question on the surface. What do you think of America? And please be completely honest.
Last week, Union Docs asked the same question.
I mean, I don't know. Just a place where you're surviving. Basically.
How do you think it's different from other places?
I mean, I think people probably struggle more to survive in other countries. But I think that, you know, I think here, you know, we probably do it with a little bit more money, I guess. I don't know.
Make no mistake about it. Someone's gonna pay. You can't kill our people. We will stand together and we're prepared to fight. And when we're forced to do it, we know how to do it right. We're America. We're America.
When I went out to shoot, all that I took with me was an American flag, which was about 3 by 5 feet. So everyone photographed used the same flag. I had a bag, I had a few rolls of film, I had a camera, no flash, no Polaroid, and a tripod. and a small, like, 3x5 sketchbook for people to write in. And I went up to people and I explained what I was doing and just said, you know, can you think about this question? And while you're thinking about the question of what you may want to write, I'm just going to set up this camera right here. And when you're done, just let me know and I'll give you the flag and you can pose with the flag any way you want.
Fight for our freedom and our liberty. We're America.
I'm going to answer the question, what is America, or try to. It is the eternal struggle between idealism and reality. It is New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. It is also Memphis, Springfield, Boise, and Coatesville. It is not a dictatorship, and we should not say that it is. It is the oldest democracy in the world, but that doesn't mean that we should not demand a better democracy. And it's the most diverse society ever, and it's also prone to exaggeration. And it's not only the government, but also its people. It is inspiring. It is where I'm proud to live.
I don't know. I guess it's my, like, my nationality, sort of, like, where I, you know, what kind of, like, status I have in the world. And I have a really hard time thinking of it in any sort of, like, place sense, you know, because it's so large. I think very few people ever really know.
The Constitution, basically, is brilliant because it deals with people who have opposing points of view and yet the same endpoint. And I think, in a way, that's America.
The important thing is I still have hopes for what America could be. And I still believe in the idea of true democracy.
Lori, what did you learn from the way people posed with the flag?
The way that they would pose with the flag really embodied a lot of the information that you see in the photographs surrounding their environments as well. Some people were very feisty about America, so they would want to lay on top of the flag, stand on the flag, want to, you know, hold lighters to the flag. Other people living in the country didn't like the country, so they would refuse to even pose with the flag simply because they didn't want to be associated with it. And then you had people who were from different class structures or sometimes a little bit older or from different parts of the country where they were very traditional and patriotic about how the flag not only should be held, but how it should be folded and how it should be posed with.
How did you choose the people that you spoke to?
When you're doing this type of project, you don't ask everyone that you see. It's just really a sort of gravitational pull to someone. And then just being really honest with them, because people have very sensitive radars, and just asking, what do you think about America?
My father came. He was a Holocaust survivor, and he came in his 20s from Germany. And it was just a place that was magic. He was orphaned by the war. He came here, and while, I mean, he could see its shortcomings, I think he just saw it as, and I think I just look at his experience. I mean, I've traveled the planet, I've lived in Europe, I've lived in Asia. America is, it is exceptional.
¿Qué es América?
Okay, para mí los Estados Unidos es algo, es una nación con muchos grupos étnicos, con muchas lenguas, con muchas costumbres, con muchas diferencias de clases sociales. Es un país donde es muy duro trabajar y donde es muy duro vivir.
Did you find similarities, Lori, in the way that people reacted to the flag?
I saw similarities in different parts of the country. Shooting in very urban inner city areas, there was a lot more sense of protest about what was going on in this country on an everyday basis. A lot of comments about the American government thinking more about foreign countries and foreign people more so than people living here in this country. So people who had those sort of opinions, when you would hand them an American flag, it was actually interesting to realize that most people have not held a real American flag that's average flag size, 3x5, in comparison to how often we see the flag plastered on everything in this country, from bandanas to bikinis to beach towels to bumper stickers. But for someone to actually hold a flag, once you hand it to them, they're a bit confused about what to do with it and how to handle it. Especially, another parallel was age groups, people who were generally about 35 and under. Were very free with the flag. It was just sort of another piece of material to them. So lying on top of it or wrapping it around their head or pulling on it didn't really faze them at all. It was just the flag. And people who were older, especially people who were like 50 years older and up, were very sensitive about how to handle the flag and much more generally patriotic in a traditional way. And I found that same sense in the southern states, like Louisiana in particular, going through Texas, that when people had the flag, they were much more specific with it, and their comments were much more along the lines of, I love this country. So that was interesting, too.
America wasn't founded on, like, this is the way you think. It was founded on, this is the way we all think. We all think differently. And that's difficult right now because we're being told what is American and what's not. But, you know, that's really no one's right to say.
¿Qué es América?
América es muy bueno para mí. Tengo mi familia aquí. Económicamente, mucho trabajo, pero es okay.
I don't know. I think the challenge, one of the challenges is to be able to recognize injustice even when it dresses itself up in your favorite colors, right? When it's in the red, white, and blue, to be able to see what normally you only see when you've got the villain music playing in the Hollywood movie and the guy's ugly and you know he's the villain. But how do you know he's the villain when he's wearing the flag, you know, when he's wearing the red, white, and blue? I think that's the real challenge. I think that America can live up to its ideal. But I think we just need to be clear on what the history is and make sure we get that straight so we make sure we don't make the mistakes again that other people have made.
Your parents were part of the military, if I'm not mistaken, and you mentioned sort of that, you know, in your experience as a college student that you felt that so many people didn't really understand the way that the flag was perceived. And I was curious how your experience of growing up with parents that were in the military and you traveling with them around the world impacted this project.
Both of my parents being in the military and growing up in a military family really had an impact on me that I didn't realize until I started working with photography, because as you grow up on military bases around the world and you have friends and family who are in the military, you see the flag 5 billion times a day. In comparison to other people, it's on the uniform, it's on the ID cards, it's on the television, it's in people's houses. And then what you're hearing throughout the day is talk about the military, because when you have parents in the military, your parents' parents are in the military, your friends go to military schools. So once I started shooting photography, I was always sort of drawn to the flag in my imagery without consciously noticing it that much. And once I started this project, once I started college, actually, and the first Gulf War began, I was really amazed that people who were my age were very disconnected with how the military actually works. The sense of what the military does was strictly basically Hollywood, because that's the only real access that they had to it. And people really just thought about people in the military or the Army or the Air Force or whatever as just sort of masses of people who just followed rules. But they didn't also think about the three-dimensional qualities of the people in the military and why they're in the military. And a lot of people didn't understand that a lot of people who are actually active in the military are not interested in the military. They are there because they needed a job, or they came from rural communities, or they needed to get an education to get out of their communities. So even though they were a part of this system, there was still at some times a sense of resistance to it as well. So when I started to shoot this story and just, you know, speak to people in college, that was interesting to find out about the disconnect between quote unquote civilians and and people who are active in the military. So once I went out and started shooting a project, all of these things sort of came into my head as a stew, because you meet so many different types of people that everything that people spoke about, as it just started to mass together, was really sort of a play on all of the ideas that I've had in my head or feelings that I've had in my head as an individual. And also, I should say that not only are both my mother and father in the military, career military, but they were also Black and immigrants. So that whole process of being from another country and then being a Black person who voluntarily joins the military is very strange and interesting. So there's many perspectives to all of it. And I was actually happy that once I started shooting this series, that in the book itself, in the completion, you get so many different perspectives throughout the book. It's not just one voice, one face, one perspective.
Oh, America. Like America. Donde brilla el tibio sol con un nuevo fulgor dorando las arenas. Donde el aire es limpio aún bajo la suave luz de las estrellas. Donde el fuego es casi amor, el río es hablado.
America is the place that my family and I came to when I was 8 years old, so we can have religious freedom and freedom to read and think and listen to whatever we want. And that's why we're here, and that's the rights that we got when we came here, and that's what we should have. Thank you.
What is America? America is a circus of hypocrisy, fueled by a love of fear and expectation. That is what America is. Thank you.
Yeah, you want me to say something about America? I think the main thing, I'm from South Africa, I'm visiting friends over here. One thing which I think is probably quite important for Americans to know from the outside is that the picture that America has outside America seems to me extremely different from how I see America while visiting here. I visited America about 2 years ago, and at that point, I think it was just after the Afghanistan war, and there was a lot of anti-American feeling, especially in South Africa, but in all parts of Africa. And I think the picture that we have down there is very much one of Marines, of G.I. Joe, of George Bush, Rumsfeld, the kind of America that you see represented on CNN, for example. And coming here, staying in Brooklyn, for example, you feel that the America you see around you has very little connection to the America as it is displayed outside. And the level of, say just for example, the level of protest against the war, I don't think people outside really know that. I think as Americans, I feel you have a duty to almost try to make more of an effort to bring that out, because I think if people that, I wouldn't say the people that hate America, but people that hate the American government could see the kinds of, or the levels of protest and anti-government feeling going on here, I think it would probably count in America's favor quite a lot, because for example, I grew up in South Africa and white South Africa, apartheid government, which was often supported by American powers that were, and we grew up very much with the idea of America the good. It's almost something that's reinforced through movies, it's reinforced through all kinds of media, and it was only in my student years that I seriously started to question that. And I think there is still probably quite a measure of goodwill towards America, and probably kind of hidden levels. I think people almost think of America as the big brother that they kind of love to hate, but there's still almost this, I think, deeper felt need to be on the same side, because I think it's so ingrained. And I think obviously a lot of the values that America stands for are values that people around the world try to strive for as well. But I think it just seems to me that the public image of America is very, very different from America as I'm at least experiencing in New York. And I think good luck with everybody and everything that you're doing at the moment, and work on getting the word out there outside America as well.
like America. I love you, America.
Speaking again with Lori Lyons about her book, Flag, an American Story. Lori, you said it was very important for you in this project to not edit the content of people's writing and to take very genuine photos. I'm curious, then, where do we see in this project your hand?
When I started shooting this and I just got the concept for it, one thing that I was very particular about was that with this project, I wanted to be anonymous in the process. The only thing I wanted to do was be able to provide the platform. But I realized that with most of the information that we get, even when we try to be objective, because it is written by someone who collects the data or who takes the photograph, that it still becomes filtered through their eyes and through their perspective. So with this project, I really only wanted to give a sort of systematic platform that was the same for every single person. And then other than that, I didn't want to really get involved with it. When I would meet people and ask them to write their comments, I wouldn't even read the comments until pretty much the end of the day. I would just turn the page over that was blank and just write a brief description of what they were wearing and where it was so I could kind of connect it to the photos and remember them. But I didn't want to guide them on, well, what do you think about drugs? Or what do you think about school? Or what do you think about housing? Or what do you think about politics? I specifically told them, write whatever you think is important to you. And luckily, it all worked out, and that's why there are so many different perspectives. And I think that for me, that was the best way to go. And for them, I guess it's a way of also just honoring what they have in their head and saying what is important to you will be important to everyone else. So just say what you feel.
Have you had any contact with the people that you photographed and spoke with after the publication of the book?
I have had a little bit of contact with some of the people that I met along the way and photographed for the book. Most of it was after the book came out and there was press going on. I sent everyone a copy of the book, and people responding that they were actually very surprised and happy to see themselves, and they couldn't believe what they wore, and they couldn't believe what they said. And then I've had a couple of incidences where I've run into people somewhat recently that I hadn't seen since the day that I photographed them. And, you know, people move, and so they didn't get the packages and things like that. And then they'd be walking down the street and see their face in Barnes & Noble's in the front window, you know. So one family in particular who were from the East Village, and they were squatting a building. And I photographed them about, you know, 5-6 years ago. And they had a wheelbarrow, like a wooden wheelbarrow, as a table outside in the backyard. And they had a newborn baby with them. And they wrote, you know, about how the American politics system, what they did and didn't like about it. And I hadn't seen them since. I didn't know what happened to them. I didn't know if they were still squatting buildings. So I was sitting down having breakfast one day in the East Village, and my friend says, hey, that's that guy you photographed. And I was like, what guy? You know, and I looked over my shoulder, and it was him. And then he looked at me, and he was like, hey, I saw the book in Barnes & Noble's because people were telling me that I was in this book. So he was sitting there with his daughter, who is now a Broadway musical theater child. And he was saying he split up with the wife and that he just received legal status as a resident owner of the building that he was squatting. So that was like really an amazing catch up.
What is America? America is a democracy. It was founded by the founding fathers who defeated the British in the War of Independence. The British had to be defeated because the British hated freedom. Once there were slaves until Abraham Lincoln freed them. Abraham Lincoln was shot in a theater. He was a Republican. Americans moved into the West because there was no one living there except for the Indians and reservations. The cowboys killed the bad Indians and helped the good ones open casinos. Daniel Boone and a dozen brave Americans killed the whole Mexican army at the Alamo. We saved France from speaking German in the First World War, and then again in the Second World War, and they are still ungrateful because they hate our freedom. For a while in the 30s, it was hard to get a job, and so FDR started Social Security. That was okay then, but is no longer needed now. We beat the Koreans, but let them have North Korea so as to avoid World War III. We beat the Vietnamese, but couldn't find all of the communists in the jungle, and so had to leave. The Soviets hated freedom, and built the Berlin Wall. Ronald Reagan told them to tear down the wall, and they did. Now the Russian people are free and our friends, except we don't trust them completely. Osama bin Laden hates freedom and killed 3,000 people on September 11th. It is a stark reminder that our good does not make us invincible and that there will always be some who hate us for our freedom. Now the Iraqi people are free, except there are some foreign fighters who have entered the country in order to destroy their freedom. We're going to smoke them out of their holes like the rats they are.
The book was published in 2001, and I was curious, how has the book been received since September 11th, or how does September 11th impact this project? I mean, the original political context being the Gulf War, now post-September 11th, a very different political situation.
September 11th had a great impact on this project because the way that this project came together was a bit unusual and usual at the same time. I had been shooting the story on and off for a period of years, and I had gone around to a lot of different American publishers and magazines to see if they would run a feature story, if I can get a book deal for it. And basically everyone kept saying, oh, we really love these pictures, but the language, the text of what they're saying is too strong, and no one really is really interested in what we think about America anyway. Like, what's the big deal? Some other people would say, oh, we really like the project, but the people that you're photographing, you know, they look like they're poor. And they weren't actually poor. They're just all regular working class people. But we're so used to seeing celebrities at this point that when you just see a regular person on a regular day, it is a little bit startling sometimes. So what happened was I went to London to go to a magazine to see if they would run it as a feature story, because they were actually a style and fashion magazine, but they consistently held pages for documentary work. So it was one of the few magazines that you could have a documentary piece in that a lot of people would see in a popular magazine, and that's not very prevalent in the States anymore. So I went there, I had a meeting with them, and I showed them the work, and I said, you know, would you be interested in a feature? And they were like, wow, this is really great. Do you know that we just opened up a gallery space? And I said, yeah, I heard about that. And then they said, well, did you know that we just started a publishing company? And I was like, no, I didn't. And they said, we really like this, and we're going to show it to the owner and come back in 2 days, and we'll tell you what he thinks. So I came back in 2 days. And met with him and the staff, and they loved it. And he was like, just finish shooting it, and when you're done, let us know, and we're going to put it out. And that's it. So literally, after like going door to door with a lot of people here in this country, I had to go to Europe, and in 2 days, had a deal. And it really needed fresh eyes on it, because I guess with most countries, if the culture is so close to you that it almost becomes invisible and you don't see what's so interesting about it. So for Europeans to look at it and just be sort of flabbergasted and say, wow, this is like really deep. We haven't seen and heard from people like this normally, and this is a really strong project, so just go finish it. That was a great thing. Now, what happened after that was a month after September 11th, Flag came out in the U.S., and because of that incident, people who saw the photographs and read the text, it just took on a completely different spin for them. For a few months after that, people were really gravitating towards the book. They were very interested. It got a lot of press. But people were also upset about the book because the people photographed and interviewed were shot during a period of 1995 to 2000. So people's idea of what they could say was completely free, and what they could do with the American flag was completely free. And right after September 11th, there was this huge blanket of traditional patriotism. So when people saw these images and read these texts, some people became quite offended. And these were people who that before September 11th would not have been offended. But to hear the truth, which was still the truth, put out there like that was not pleasant for them. And it was something that they wanted to sort of keep way on a back burner and not talk about it for a while. And I had an interesting chance from Fortune magazine. They asked me to go out and photograph some more of the flag series for them. And when I went out post September 11th, to do the same thing, same project, exactly the way I had done it before. It was so incredibly hard to get people to be photographed with an American flag or to say anything, much less anything remotely critical about the country. And it was actually very, very difficult to even photograph on the street, where people who were undercover cops would be stopping me, asking me if I had a permit and what I was doing, and literally telling me that even if people said yes to be photographed and interviewed, that I couldn't do it because I didn't have a permit for that space. So it was very bizarre. And now it's interesting that, you know, once again, around election time, a couple of years later, the pendulum is starting to swing back to the other way about people's voices being heard and being shown and saying whatever they feel like it. So it's been an interesting process of just how people's psyche just goes into sort of 360.
Can you speak a little bit about the immediate reception by when you showed it in Europe first?
When Flag was released in Europe, it was amazing. There was so much press around it. Europeans are very, very curious, and the Japanese as well, about Americana. And they felt like it was the first time that they had seen America in a non-glossy, stereotypical way. And they were very curious about, oh, this is what a Native American reservation really looks like. This is what Native Americans have to say about each other now in 2001. This is what people who have just got out of jail really look like, and this is what they really have to say. And, oh, there are really cowboys in Texas who wear big cowboy hats and pointy boots and and look like, you know, they're sheriffs. So for them, it was sort of like an anthropological study come to life for them. Because if you're living in another country, again, what you see is what is on television and what is in Hollywood, and maybe you meet a few tourists and you have an idea of it. But to see the whole three-dimensionality of it was a very big thing for them.
¿Qué es los Estados Unidos para mí? Como colombiana y dándome cuenta de, pienso que Estados Unidos es un país que nos brinda grandes oportunidades, no solo a los ciudadanos de este país, sino también a personas que venimos de otros países. Nos da la oportunidad de trabajar, nos da la oportunidad de viajar, nos da la oportunidad de estudiar. Es un país que tanto como nos ofrece muchas cosas, también nos quita muchas cosas. Siento que tengo menos tiempo del tiempo que tenía en mi país para hacer las cosas. Hay menos tiempo de disfrutar porque hay muchísimo más tiempo para trabajar, pero pienso que hay grandes oportunidades y que debemos tratar de utilizar todas y cada una de las oportunidades que se nos ofrecen. Comparativamente con Latinoamérica, soy colombiana y en Colombia también hay oportunidades, muchas oportunidades, pero en menor cantidad. Profesionalmente, aquí tienes oportunidad de estudiar y de trabajar al mismo tiempo. En Colombia, estudiar es difícil. Si no tienes la capacidad económica para hacerlo, es un poco difícil. En cuanto a la posición como mujer, es diferente la posición como mujer que yo tenía en un país como Colombia, que a pesar de ser democrático, tienes oportunidades en desigualdad comparativamente con los hombres. Las oportunidades de trabajo son diferentes en cuanto a los hombres. Las mujeres, en realidad, en Colombia, el hombre es cabeza de familia en Colombia, en un país como el mío, pero la mujer ahorita ocupa un puesto muy importante. Están escalando un poco de posiciones y tratan de trabajar también. Ya no es como en los 60s, en los 50s, en los que la mujer tenía una segunda posición. La posición era de hogar. Ahora la mujer puede desempeñar otros roles en el mundo, como estudiar, trabajar, y tiene diferentes oportunidades. Me parece que ahora que estoy aquí tengo una diferente visión de lo que es el mundo, y pienso que me siento muy feliz. gracias a que me dieron la oportunidad al llegar a este país de trabajar, de estudiar y de aprender muchísimas cosas, de las cuales me siento muy orgullosa y me siento muy feliz de estar acá. Y muchas gracias por esta oportunidad.
Movies and heroes in the land of the free, you can be what you wanna be. So I heard this song when I was 11, and I didn't even understand the lyrics. I actually also thought that Bruce Springsteen's songs, Born in the USA, celebrates America. It is patriotic and it kind of celebrates it, but it's also very critical, and I didn't understand that. In the music video, Bruce Springsteen is surrounded by flags, so I just assumed it had to be uncritical. It just had to be uncritical patriotic. There was no way in my way of thinking that you can be critical and hold up your country's flag. That was impossible. And to cut back a little, I have to say that I'm a little uncomfortable with the word America itself. America, American dream, it obviously refers to the U.S., but America is so much larger and bigger than the U.S., geographically and metaphorically. It seems to be a problem of power. And when I think of America, I can hardly think of the real United States. When we talk about the United States, we usually refer to the government, their world policy, and we are more than happy to criticize it. Europeans, and especially Germans, are very good in criticizing the people of the United States as being ignorant, dumb, self-centered, and fat. But the word America, or rather the concept of America, refers to a mythical place, a place where everybody is equal and has the same chances. You can be what you want to be. The idea of America, a new world, was long occupied before even the first white settlers set foot on this country's soil. It's weird, in the 2 years I've lived and growing fond of this country, I've been struggling with the real and the mythical America. When I first came, that was when I was 16, America was kind of the chosen land for me. My family, my hometown, Germany, seemed to inbox me, and America was naturally the promised land. My experience turned out to be great, but little did I know about the reality. The poor are unfortunately really poor in this country, and obviously not everybody's equal and has the same chances. 2 years ago, I also read a study that social mobility in Germany is as high or low, depends on how you see it, as in the United States. But somehow this place keeps its mythicalism. Still, Madison Square Garden sounds like paradise for me. But in reality, it's just a big arena. I've seen them all around the world. For me, the United States, or better, New York, has given me every opportunity, and I'm grateful for that and cherish the idea of America in my heart. And I sometimes love that country so much and so many of its people that I sometimes struggle with my loyalties. But I also cannot forget the tired and huddled masses that in reality don't have a chance.
Lori, was there a distinct decision made only to photograph working class people?
No, it wasn't a distinct decision. It really came out of just practicalities. One thing, when I photograph documentary stories, I walk through areas. So with this particular project, because I don't drive, I took the train, basically outlining the country, and once I would get to a particular city or town, I'd get off the train and then get acquainted and then just start walking through neighborhoods, because that's where you just see people, you have conversations, and you also have to figure out your day-to-day activities of where to eat, where to sleep, where to do laundry, that kind of thing. So when you're out and about, one thing that I did notice with this project is on the street, people that you meet are going to be working class or not working. You rarely are going to be just out on the street walking through neighborhoods and meet someone who is somewhat affluent or very affluent because they lived in a more closed off way. They're not just out in their neighborhood, you know, saying hi to their neighbor. They are sort of back further in their homes, in their cars. So if you just want to go out and just meet a wide spectrum of people, they are usually not approachable or accessible.
A term that you've used a couple times now is traditional patriotism. I was curious if you could maybe speak a little bit more about that, the use of the word traditional before the word patriotism, and if you would consider this project to be patriotic.
Well, I guess in my head, traditional patriotism is people who are overtly positive about their comments and who hold or talked about the flag itself in ways that were closer to how the flag is treated in a military way. And as far as patriotism, I thought the project was very patriotic because for me, patriotism is not a blind patriotism, one way or the other, pro or con, but just being able to be very free about what your opinion is and feel like that once it's said, even if it's not agreed with, that there is still some validity to it. So that's my idea of patriotism.
Do you think there are blind spots in this representation of the U.S.?
That's an interesting question. I think that if I were able to actually get more access to people who were wealthier, that would have been interesting as well, to see what their take on the country was. And then other than that, I don't really feel like there are a lot of blind spots in it. I think for one singular project, it covered a wide range of people where, at least in the projects that I've seen on America, I've never seen a project where there are an equal amount of Native Americans, disabled, black, young, old, people who are school teachers, people who are ex-gang members, just like a wide scope of American society, a lot of different slices of life.
I think one thing that's so interesting to look when you flip through the pages of the book is at the people's handwriting and how it resonates so deeply to just look at the way like just a fragment of text is captured by an individual, you know, when they're just handed a piece of paper, and to see that then in the context of a book, which is somewhat more formal, it kind of creates this really exciting resonance where you do feel like you get a little bit closer to the person. Can you talk a little bit about that choice and about how handwriting, you know, affects the overall project?
Handwriting was very important because when people write, it also tells a lot about who they are. The stroke of the pen, the way that they spell words or misspell words. You can see if someone is dyslexic. You can see how they formulate sentences and phrases. Do they write in a way that's like traditionally grammatically correct, or do they write in a way that they speak, which may be completely street slang? And how does their message still resonate? So, and even just the type of ways that they write words and letters. You know, some people wrote with very big bubble letters and hearts on their eyes. Some people write in big capital block letters. And then when you actually read the comments that they were making, it was very fitting to what they were talking about or the way that they looked or their environment that they were photographed in. So I knew that the handwriting would give it another three-dimensional dimension to who they were, instead of just having, you know, regular type, set type with the pictures.
And the texts that are sort of your interpretation or your experience, there's small red kind of captions, and they're very, very delicately placed. I thought that was a really interesting choice as well.
Yeah, that was actually, I think, a good thing to do, because I think maybe in that sense, that's where you get a presence of myself, the photographer, as a part of the project, of just a small tidbit of the relationship that I had with them for the, you know, 20 minutes, half hour that I met them. So I think that also gave it another sense of connection to the book.
I was hoping that you could speak a little bit about what type of things you're working on now. I know that you're teaching a seminar at the International Center of Photography this fall called My America.
Yes. In September, I'll be teaching a class for teenagers called My America, and that will be a mixture of photography, text, politics, with also collage. So it'll be a lot of different ways for the students to sort of give texture to their ideas of what America is to them or for them. And that will be really interesting because the age group is going to be basically 14 to 17-year-olds. So this will be the next block of people who will be eligible to vote for the next election. And just to see how they're formulating ideas and how they're absorbing information at that crucial age is going to be really exciting. The other projects that I'm working on is a new portrait series on men that is at the beginning stages. It's going to be much more experimental than what Flag is as far as technique and textures. It will be shot in a way and printed in a way that is not what is generally thought of as a correct way for photography. So it'll be a lot of like alternative processes used with that. And I'm also teaching at Photo Manhattan, and I'm probably be teaching also at the School of the Future. So I have a few things going on, plus my commercial work. I do portraits and fashion and a little bit of everything for magazines and advertising.
What is, for you, the difference between portrait photography and documentary photography?
That's a good question. Portrait photography is really about the visual, capturing the visual on film. And documentary photography is really capturing the essence of an idea about a person on film, but also having the experience as a part, an integral part of the project that keeps continuing. So when you're shooting a documentary project, it's really much more than the final image. It's about all the experiences, all of the dialogue, the image itself, constructing the image, and basically what you learned from the experience. And that comes as a piece all in itself of what does this mean? And just shooting a portrait is really about making someone look beautiful or interesting.
To believe that America is a state of mind, it's an ideal that inspires us, the greatest accomplishments, and the worst kind of nationalistic pride. It's a place full of us and them, with the weaknesses of every society, inherited poverty, institutionalized racism, corrupt political dynasties. Yet it has the potential and the sense of promise that this country holds that makes these seem so much more dramatic and surprising than they might seem in other places. America is the struggle against complacency, the recognition that all of us have remarkable freedom and consequently, tremendous responsibility. It's this country's fluidity that's the vehicle for our success and makes the possibility of the American dream exist. Yet, it's this responsibility that also creates a balancing act. It's the vast and incomparable strength of our government and its military that can only be checked by the people of our nation. We've been made complacent, I believe, by our mass media, creature comforts, individual pursuits of the American dream. Alone in the suburbs, many of us forget our responsibilities to the rest of the world. We are not unlike the children of Tony Soprano, spoiled, envied, and oblivious to our father's violent control of his competitors. We turn a blind eye, shrug, and rationalize to avoid the burden of thought. As part of this institution, partaking in its gifts, we are also members to its crimes. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about this nation is its duality, the way that we are viewed and the way that we perceive ourselves are so different. We are told and believe that the world is jealous of us, absolving us of personal guilt towards the anger that we sense abroad. But in fact, they're disappointed. Anyone who has traveled has answered the question, how can your government allow this? When they should be asking, how can you?
For me, I love photography, but it's really the medium that allows me to have the experience So that's why I actually really love photography, is that it is the vehicle for me to have the journeys and learn things from different people in different places.
How did you first become involved with photography?
Well, I thought about this a while ago, and I was actually like the house photographer in the family. I don't generally like to be photographed, so I always would take the photographs instead. And then I went to college to learn graphic design because I was really interested in album covers and posters. And I later realized that once I took the Photo One class as a requirement, that what I really loved was the photography, and I was exposed to documentary photography through Magnum Photos. And once I saw that, that's when I was like, that is what I really want to do. I want to have the total experience. I want to have the great photo and the excitement of that, but I also want to be out and working with people and learning things. So for me, that's what makes photography exciting.
What institutions or other artists inspire you?
Well, some artists that really inspired me as far as photographers were the Magnum photographers, and that's actually one of the reasons why I came back to New York after graduating. I really wanted to meet those photographers and just look at their photographs and figure out how they did business and just hear the chitter chatter and see them come in and out of the office. So I got a job there, and I met Bruce Davidson and James Nachtway and Sebastio Salgado, all of these people, and they actually helped me a lot. So being in New York, and I've actually had a very great opportunity to work with a lot of artists that inspired me. So Magnum photographers, National Geographic photographers, people who do fashion and portraits. I've been able to sort of meld the two worlds together. And then also for myself, that especially in my commercial work, I really love paintings. So when you see the commercial work, it is very vibrant color or very graphic black and white imagery. So I'm sort of like walking borders. When I'm, you know, a little bit feeling too heavy with the documentary work, I go do something else that's just very creative in another way. And then that creative work actually funds the documentary work.
It's just one little bit different type of question, but it was something I thought about earlier and wanted to ask is sort of what your parents have thought about this project.
My parents loved the project. It was funny. It's like when I showed it to them, they're like, wow, ooing and aahing, and yeah, that's true, that's true. Oh, I can't believe they said that, you know. And then it was like, oh, you better be careful, you know, you're going to hear about this, you know, get your number unpublished. But they were very proud about it and very happy that it came out. And they found it very interesting because, you know, before you actually join the military, you have a whole life before that. And even once you're in the military and once you're out of the military, which they are at this point, your life just picks up again. So a lot of viewpoints of what people said in this book, they had also seen and heard and actually had themselves at different times.
America is the place where my great-grandparents moved to escape the Holocaust. And therefore, I'm thankful that America is in existence today. I'm also thankful that I can be gay and proud and vote and have the right to live my life freely.
Well, I don't think I really had an appreciation for the United States and everything that we have and everything that we can do until I was sent to Iraq. I served in the Marine Corps for almost 3 years. And I thought that I could make a difference, that I could help. And you can't. Not one person isn't going to be able to do one thing. It does sound stupid, but everybody does need to get together to make something happen. And being in third world countries and seeing the way that people live and that they, things that they can't do or say or wear or be named. Just so many little things that we take for granted, that I can wear a jeans and t-shirt when I go into public, or that I can even go into public at all, is a privilege. And there are so many things that not just Americans, but civilians worldwide take for granted. And in America, we can take advantage of all these things that we don't realize we have.
I mean, something we're seeing today is that, in, you know, documentary work, I think, is gaining a greater and greater audience in the world. I mean, documentary films recently with, you know, Michael Moore, et cetera, you know, grossing much, much larger than any time in history. I'm wondering if you could speak to that, sort of that trend we have today.
I think that trend is exciting. I was actually thinking about that the other day because I went to the movie theater and I said, wow, there's about four or five documentaries that I want to see, and they're all at the movie theater. You know, I don't have to go to the video store and say, do you have this thing called, you know, they're actually getting widescreen, you know, viewers, and for it to be able to generate dollars. And that really shows to the business community that, oh, people are interested in alternative voices and they will pay to listen and see these messages. I think it's a great, great thing, because the other thing about documentary work that's very hot at this time is that with the use of technology and with the exposure that it's getting, it's very accessible for the average person now to feel like they can produce a story on their own. It's not about them breaking into a Hollywood system, which seems so unapproachable. So I think because of the exposure and the amount of money that's being made and the publicity, that we're actually going to hear and see a lot more interesting work.
American is an idea, an abstraction. America is a representative idea and a federal abstraction. We elect representatives to interpret it. We expect government to mete it out. And we expect authorities to enforce it. The idea is democracy, even though America is not a democracy. The idea is justice, even though for many Americans, America is not just. The idea is life, even though the government may take it from you. The idea is liberty, even though it's unclear what that means. The idea is happiness, even though many are not happy. The ideas were those of 18th century philosophers instituted through a violent revolution. Ideas die when they do not find the form of action. They die when they are interpreted lazily. They die when they are forgotten. Because these ideas are ensconced in aging documents that can be seen underneath glass museum cases, many mistake the permanence of these exhibits and the monuments that house them for the permanence of the ideas that they espouse. But these are merely ideas. There's no country in the world where machinery is so lovely as in America. In America, sex is an obsession, and in other parts of the world, it is a fact. Nobody ever went broke underestimating the taste of the American public. America, just a nation of 200 million used car salesmen with all the money we need to buy guns and no qualms about killing anybody else in the world who tries to make us uncomfortable. America may be unique in being a country which has leapt from barbarism to decadence without touching civilization. The organization of American society is an interlocking system of semi-monopolies, notoriously venal, an electorate notoriously unenlightened, misled by a mass media notoriously phony. The youth of America is their oldest tradition. It has been going on now for 300 years. Americans are like a rich father who wishes he knew how to give his son the hardships that made him rich. America is the land of the free if you can afford it. You can always count on Americans to do the right thing after they tried everything else.
What do you think the flag for you means today?
That is a great question. I think the flag for me today means probably opportunity and challenge. Challenge to be who you think you want to be and try to make that work for you. And the opportunity, even with all of the faults that we have in our system, to still be able to have a shot at trying to make that life or that idea happen for yourself. I travel a lot, and even places that I love to be in, there is a difference. There really is a fundamental difference of access to opportunity in other countries. And even with the things that we should complain about here and we should try to change, I think it's still, you have to remember that you actually have the opportunity to say something and do something on a big level or a small level. And even if it only affects yourself and maybe a couple of your friends, you still are able to just do it and have that experience. Whereas in a lot of places, they don't.
You've been listening to Art Attack on WKCR. Our guest tonight has been Lori Lyons, whose photographs you can see next month at the Union Docks Art Space in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, in an exhibition that opens October 2nd. Check out www.uniondocks.org for more info. The book Flag, An American Story, is available on Amazon.com and at Barnes & Noble, so check it out. This is Christopher Allen signing off. Stay tuned to WKCR.